Hello Pod, I'm Chris Stewart and welcome to a very special episode of the Empire and Pilot TV podcast in association with Disney Plus. It takes a lot to get the Empire and Pilot teams, who are usually at war with each other, to come together. And this is a very special event indeed, because this episode is dedicated to Wedding Season, the first UK original series on Disney Plus, which is a tale of a couple in love who are forced to go on the run after a wedding goes wrong. And when I say goes wrong, I mean the entire wedding party, with the exception of the bride, has been murdered. And the cops think that the bride did it. And there's a whole bunch of other people after the bride as well. So, you know, that kind of wrong. All 8 episodes of the season are available right now on Disney Plus, and as I say, this is the first UK original series for Disney Plus, so it's kind of a big deal. It has many leather-bound books, and its apartment smells of rich mahogany. And joining me to discuss this show are two colleagues of such lethal cunning from the Pilot TV podcast. It's Kay Ribeiro. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am very good. Thank you very much indeed. And straddling both worlds of Pilot and Empire, like some sort of bald colossus, it's James Dyer.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Jimbo. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
It's good small talk, isn't it? This is really good small talk.
No, should I tell you what? James is a bit woozy. He's got jet lag, so
I do.
You can
I am
tell.
Quite
look
jet
at that. He's got his eyes are glazed over a little.
Jimbo with the jet set lag. Is that what he's is that what he's got?
Basically, yeah. That, yes.
Jimbo. Love that show.
I love that show.
With his headphones on right now, he does resemble Jimbo. They could be like little wings.
I think we should put a picture up. He does look like the the jet, the jumbo jet.
I look like the jet. I feel like the jet at
you
the moment.
You really do. Mm.
Photoshoppers, get Lee to work on this immediately. Well, listen, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. There's a lot of stuff to talk about in terms of the show. We've seen the first 3 episodes, so anyone who is watching this after seeing all 8 episodes on Disney Plus, then you are ahead of the curve. You are ahead of the game with us. But we're going to talk about the show. We're going to talk about the setup for the show. And we're going to talk about weddings, because it's a lovely, lovely romantic thing, except when everybody gets killed, obviously. But first, before we get into everything, we're going to hear from some of the people who made it, because I did a whole bunch of interviews for the show the other day, and you are going to hear from the star of Wedding Season, a.k.a. the man who plays the hapless Stefan, Gavin Dre, and creator/head writer, Oliver Littleton. You're going to hear from Callie Cook, Bav Joshi, and Omar Baroud, who play the show's Greek chorus of wisecracking best friends, Layla, Anil, and Jackson. And firstly, we're going to hear from Jamie Meachie, who plays investigating policeman Donahue, and George Webster, who plays Hugo Delaney, the groom of the wedding party. So yes, he's very dead for a lot of the show, but don't worry, folks. We get to meet him and know him in flashbacks. These were incredibly fun interviews to do. I hope you enjoy them as much as I did. First up, enjoy Jamie and George.
Hey, Jamie. Hi, George. How's it going?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Good.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Where are you guys at the moment?
We're in a hotel room on the South Bank.
Yeah, Sea Containers. It's a lovely view.
Oh, Sea Containers. I've always gone past it on the boat. I take the boat home sometimes. I go past it and think, what would that hotel be like? So give me the quick mini TripAdvisor review.
I can tell you, Chris, it's lovely.
So I've only seen the first 3 episodes so far. Your characters, your two characters, not so much so far in the way of screen time. So talk me through this pairing. What, have you been paired together? Is this something that either of you has requested? Or is there more to come from this character relationship as the show goes on?
No, I mean, it's funny that you say that, because we both turned up here and we were like, isn't that weird that we're together in this? Because, I mean, we met at the read-through.
not one scene together, but we hold each other's eye contact a lot, and there's definitely chemistry between us.
I mean, maybe so, there's a kind of, you know, a prequel there or something like that, you know.
Get on it. Yeah, it is an odd pairing, Chris, it is, but we're here for it. We're thriving. We've been in the room together for a couple of hours now. Uh-huh. There is other people here. But okay. It's lovely. It's comfortable. We feel happy. We both love the show.
We've got the sea in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Technically a river, Jamie, but I'll let you off.
Sorry, I've just come back. I've just back from Crete. I've just been looking at nothing but sea for the last 15 days.
I would not recommend diving into that.
Different current.
Yeah.
Very different current. I would not recommend it indeed. No offense, of course, to the Thames, if indeed the Thames is listening. But so talk me through then this read-through. What was a read-through like the first time, the only time previously before this that you had met? What is a read-through like on a show like this? You got so many characters, so many wonderful, multifaceted characters. You got this mystery unfolding as well.
Well, I mean, the mad thing was that there was still COVID time, so... Mm-hmm. I'm sure everyone sort of starts with that now, but it was like a huge kind of front wedding table, and then all lots of executive producers, writers, costume, makeup, camera, ADs, all sort of lined up in front of us like little school desks.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it was like they were doing the exam. We were watching them, but we were being examined by them. So it was like kind of odd, because usually a table read is kind of in the round. So we were all kind of lined in one big line with a kind of gap between us. And obviously, because it's a co-production with Jack's Media and Dancing Lead, so there's producers from America, there's producers from the UK. There's just a lot. I think that's probably the largest read-through I've ever... I think that might be the largest group of people in a read-through. Definitely the most producers I've ever sat in with.
Yeah, it was also quite hard, because with a read-through generally, I don't know about you, Jamie, like, I don't come particularly well prepared. I'm like, let's figure it out, let's hear it, let's see what works, what doesn't. It still feels kind of exploratory to me, where this was like, when they're all looking at you, like, I know, you need to do some good acting off that page right now, because you're going to get fired if you don't. but I think that pressure really
that's a good point. That's a good point, because, yeah, read-throughs are strange, because everyone has a different position in the read-through. You know, people, I often find it's like, oh, God, we're just reading it for them.
Mm. Yeah.
Why don't you read it on your own?
You got eyes.
I'll turn up on day one.
We'll do an audio book for you afterwards, for God's sake.
So I imagine then when you get the roles, do you immediately know how you're going to play them? So let's talk you through your characters, because they're very, very different characters in this show. Yeah. Jamie, you play a cop of the edge, so to speak, who's in pursuit of our heroes all the way through. Can you talk about him and how you got into Donahue?
So, you know, I read the first couple of episodes with that. I always say, right, but where does he go? You know, so then you kind of get a bit more information, you find out a little bit more of your arc, and then you kind of try and figure out from those episodes where it might go, but also intrigued. But you kind of from reading the first two eps, you find enough meat in there to kind of see what you want to do with it, and then present that, you know, in an audition. And I always kind of, you know, when I first started reading this, I could just see the vulnerability in him, and I could see the chinks in his armor, you know, and I, whenever I read stuff like that, I tend to play quite a lot of characters like that, that are a bit kind of vulnerable or, you know. Mm. So I just, once I, you know, if I can see all that meat in there, then I, you know, you present what you present. And if that's what they're looking for, that's what they're looking for.
And George, with you, because this is a very interesting part that you're playing here, Hugo Delaney, because, not to give too much away, but the first episode kind of finishes with your death. So did you think that was it at that point? That was like, thanks very much, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it was completely oversold, was the size of the role. No, it was... I'm dead on the poster. I've got my face on the poster of a Disney Plus show, and it's just the top of my head because I'm dead in the bowl of beetroot soup. But I knew that the hook of the show kind of was about my murder and my family's murder, which is, I suppose, is what the whole show is effectively about. There's aspects that come up later on in the show that, again, I suppose, like Jamie was saying, all the characters really have these, like, they're all really well written and nuanced, and Hugo might present himself as a certain thing and comes across a certain way, but I think he's a little bit more complicated than that. And that's always really exciting. And I think, again, like Jamie said, if you can get that across in your initial audition, then hopefully you'll book the job. And yeah, fortunately, they liked what I was doing with it.
You also you are alive in the show's opening sequence, which is a moment when Stefan, who is the one of the heroes of the show, crashes a wedding and says those words that I think, you know, I certainly dreaded someone saying it whenever I was getting married. I object. Usually, you know, people object to me on all sorts of grounds, but I didn't want to hear it on that day. what about you guys? Have you ever had that happen to you when you've been at a wedding? Things going horribly wrong, as they frequently do in this show?
I can't think like of a real situation. My thing is always, my huge fear of every wedding is, what's the best man going to do?
Oh, with the speech.
Like, I always hate it when people tear people to shreds. I think, like, find the comedy, but, like, I don't know, some of the things that they come out with, and you see the parents.
Yeah.
Just going, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
This has cost a fortune.
Yeah. What is it about a wedding that makes people, all people think they can do a tight five comedy set? You know what I mean? They're like, you're not funny, Dad. Shut up. Yeah, here they go. They're like, no, I've got some really good jokes. It's like, just be sincere. Because I've seen some bad speeches, like at some weddings. I won't mention any, but like some really cringe inducing, like, just say thanks and be quiet, mate.
Yeah.
That's as bad as it gets. No objections as of yet. Maybe my wedding one day. Who knows?
Yeah.
Jamie, I object. I've always loved you.
George.
Yeah, can,
not you, Michelle.
You could object to yourself. No one's ever done that before.
That's a good idea.
You know? Yeah. There's so many different genres in this show. You're both kind of almost in different shows at the same time. But what was that like for you both?
Yeah, like I say, we met at the read through, and then it was like goodbye. And then I end up on this kind of, yeah, I feel like I'm in a different show from everyone else. And there's maybe a point where I meet other people in the show, and I'm like, I remember feeling, I think, it was quite strange, because, you know, when you're doing all the kind of police stuff, it's all quite intense, and, you know, it's got its comedy, but it's kind of straight, and it's very copy in that sense. But
you might say it's like real life. We all live in different genres every day.
Yeah,
know? Sometimes
I did feel like I was stepping into another genre that I, you know, that I wasn't necessarily a part of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That was interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing it all come together.
Absolutely. And George, for yourself, real quick, what was that experience like?
Yeah, sort of echoing what Jamie said, there's these different veins in the show that all intertwine perfectly, and it never feels like they're different shows. It's all very much the same show. But there's all these sort of intertwining things that feel different and unique, and I suppose keeps the audience on their toes. It's a very like pacey action thriller rom-com kind of series that, you know, I hate that phrase, it's got something for everyone, because it doesn't. It's only got something for legends.
All right, guys, Jamie, George, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much.
Chris, pleasure.
Thanks,
mate.
Chris.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Jamie Meachie and George Webster, and now it's Callie Cook, Bav Joshi, and Omar Baroud. Enjoy. I have to start with the obvious standard question. Most disastrous wedding you've been to? Go.
In real life?
In real life, yeah.
I went to one a few years ago where the father of the bride just did a really long, sort of racist, terrible speech. Like, he started making the weirdest references, and everyone was so uncomfortable. Everyone, like the first like 10 minutes, people were just doing nervous laughter, and then it carried on for another 20 minutes. It was 30
That's a
minutes long.
Long. Speech, wow.
Yeah, they aren't together anymore.
Wow.
That's a true story. That's all I can think of. That's quite dark. So someone tell
I think that story is good enough for all of us.
Yeah,
to be honest.
So.
You were all at that wedding.
We've known each other.
I should have thought of a funnier, quirkier story.
No. It's good to start off with a bit of darkness. So why not? Why not? Yeah, some of those speeches can be horrendous. Bav, Omar, what about yourself? Have you been to a particular crackers in the past.
Friends with them, so it'd be sad to call it disastrous. Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean? Okay. I guess I've been disastrous at weddings.
In what way?
Because of the, it's like the, I feel like it's the one time you get a chance that like life goes, just go crazy. Just here's someone that's going to pay for your food and for any drink you want. Like, when does that ever happen? Like someone just goes, yeah, just, oh, do you want another? There's three bottles of vodka there. Do you want some more? Like it's, it's been, I love weddings.
But then there's the new kind of, I don't know, this new trend in weddings where people are asking you to pay for stuff. You know, people who maybe have their wedding in overseas or say in Korea, or, you know, so they'll ask you to pay for a flight and then you have to pay for something. That's not good. We don't want that sort of stuff.
No.
I can't comment because I'm totally going to be the guy. I'm going to get married abroad, I think. Yeah. I'd like to. But then I guess, do you pay for everyone? I don't know. I'm not getting married.
I think you'd have to be all right then with people not coming, right?
That's why I would do it, though. Because then it's so much more fun. You don't have to come.
And it'll be cheaper.
Well, you don't have to invite people because they wouldn't come.
There you go. That's the thing, yeah.
That's the spirit.
You should maybe do some wedding planning on the side.
Everything I've said so far has been really nice.
I know.
Sorry,
absolute upsides to like weddings over here. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a fun and exciting show. Let's remind people about that.
Let's get back on track.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's interesting because I've been chatting to, you know, Gavin and Ollie and Jamie and George, and it pretty much everyone in wedding season is in a slightly different show from everyone else. So while, you know, while Gavin and Rosa are off in their action thriller, and listen, this may change. Episode 4 onwards, this may change for you guys. They're off doing their thing. You guys are in your wedding comedies and your relationship comedies side of things. Does that change? I mean, can you hint at whether that changes? And or if not, what's that like for you guys? Does it feel like you're shooting different shows within this?
It did a bit. We didn't have much of a cross. I was lucky because Layla is also Stefan's lawyer. Mm-hmm. So I do merge into the criminal underworld slightly. And then, as the show goes on, we do start to help Stefan without giving stuff away. We do sort of come into that world. But I mean, you would have never had anything with Mets and...
Not really, but I think... Yeah, I feel like the beautiful thing about it is that it feels like so many things at once.
Yeah,
doesn't it? Because there's so many things at play at once, and there's so many. I feel like it's like shiny things everywhere. Mm. So I remember reading the script and going, "Oh my god! Oh, it's happening! Oh my god! Oh, that's happening now."
I thought it finished episode 5. Do you remember?
Yes.
We did the read through, and the end of episode 5 is a huge, huge cliffhanger. And I closed the script and I went, oh, God, I can't wait for season 2. Wow. What's going to happen? And everyone's like, you know, there are 3 more episodes. And I was like, I genuinely thought that was the end.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I think as well, just with the nature of the show as well, with it shifting through so many genres, to answer your question, at times it did feel like maybe we were working on a different show. But I think when you see it all put together, it does oddly work, having all these genres and how we move so fast and the pacing of the show is really exciting. It's
They've
quite thrilling.
They've edited it together so nicely as well. Like all the colours.
All the thrilling parts.
It's all so
everything.
Quick.
Yeah.
How much did you know going into this when you first... started auditioning for this, or was this something that did you know? Clearly you didn't know, because Kelly didn't know that there was more than
that. That's all you need to know. I thought it was a 5-minute mini-series. We didn't know anything really. We knew
the premise, obviously.
But we didn't really know where it went.
I know. I was, to be fair, it was exciting. I feel like we kind of knew where it was going, obviously, because you know the premise of the show. But it was kind of exciting trying to actually see the detail in the script when we got the script. It was like watching an episode and going, what's next? And I was going, oh my god, what's next?
And just seeing how they realized all these scripts as well. I'm talking about costume and the art department, you know, all the things that are written in the script. It was so lovely to see them actually brought to life and what it actually looked like. And that's why it works, I think. That's why the show really has something cool to say, and it's fun, and it's, it will keep people guessing, I think, because all those things became fully realized.
Absolutely. And you also have this fun recurring thread that, you know, runs through the each episode I've seen so far, which there is a disastrous wedding. Something goes horribly wrong at pretty much every single wedding in the show. And did you guys enjoy that aspect of things, filming those weddings? You know, the one with the car, that's all I'm going to say. Don't want to spoil it for too much for people, but...
Bonner's wedding is our favourite. It's our favourite. It's the best bit about it. Oh, that's a spoiler. I can't say, sorry. That's so annoying. Sorry. I just realized what I was going to say. But no, Lorna's wedding was our favorite. The design, the production design of it was amazing. And we just basically get to sit as guests and judge people and laugh. And it's so nice.
Yeah, we, Callie and I, had these balloons that literally was just decoration of the wedding.
They were a nightmare for sound.
Because they kept going...
But we were just using them to stop laughing.
We had to put them in front of our face to stop laughing. I think it's just become part of the episode now.
Yeah.
There's this really funny thread that develops where... Your characters are essentially this sort of Greek chorus. You're standing on the sidelines, bitching about everything.
Literally.
How much of that was scripted? How much of that was improv? You seem to be having a tremendous time.
It was a lot of improv, actually. Yeah. I mean, George and Laura, our directors, they were really cool about us just adding in stuff. And, you know, if there was ever a time where obviously a lot of the dialogue was written by Ollie, but there was a lot of like, oh, actually, that line feels more of a Suji line or more of a, you know, Jackson line. So we'd switch about lines quite a lot.
Interesting.
And then we would add stuff all the time. And, you know, we would add where we were placed, you know, if we were, what we were doing. Yeah. Because we wanted to, you know, we were at that point a natural group of friends.
Yeah.
So
it was nice to be given that kind of freedom as well, right? Yeah. Sorry, your freedom by George and Laura to be able to add stuff in that we thought about right.
It's only because we felt so comfortable with each other because we met each other and to meet this group of people that you kind of feel like, well, these are actually my friends. It's which obviously I hope translates on screen as well, which is why I think during filming that we realized, you know, it's just like a hand here.
Those little nuances, even if it's a side eye between two characters who are like at opposite ends of the room.
But then at one point we were like, God, are we awful? Because we are judging people so much. Like, what wedding was it? And we were like, is this too much?
Isn't that what friends do though?
I know, yeah, maybe.
But that kind of goes to the heart of the show. I mean, we're talking to Jamie and George, who actually they don't have any scenes together in the show.
Yeah.
And the only time they met was at the read-through. But you guys, you have to have this chemistry. Obviously, Anil and Layla are actually part of a couple, you know, which is its own little wrinkle as well. So, you know, chemistry isn't something you can work on. Chemistry isn't something you can teach.
Yeah.
You know, what if you'd all turned up and hated each other?
I know. Yeah. So you got so lucky.
Yeah. It was that one day on the beach we met each other, and it was someone from the crew came over and said, oh, you've got, because we were cracking up. It took about 5 seconds. We were all laughing and we were pranking Bav basically. But within the first minute of meeting each other, and someone from the crew came up and just went, oh, so you've guys been together for a while. We went, we just met.
Yeah.
Me and Gavin made the decision on day one to tell Bav that Gavin's sister was a member of Bewitched.
Let me precursor this as well, Bewitched was the first album I ever got.
No, but we didn't know.
What do you like?
We didn't know. This is why it backfired so much, because we were like, oh, let's think of a really random band. But would you Bewitched? Because Gavin's Irish. And then Gav was like deadly serious and he was, oh yeah, my sister was in Bewitched. And then Bav was like, which one?
Yeah.
And then he lists all of their names because Bav knows all of their names.
Yeah, sadly, I could not be duped. And he went, Lindsay. And I went, isn't she Greek? And I went, are you Greek, Gavin? And he went, yeah. And then they just shouted action.
And
I was
just went, action.
That,
and we were all
whole take, you just see me working it out in my head. I was I was like, what?
I have to ask. Okay, can you name all the members of Bewitched then?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Go on,
Sinead, Kiwi, Adele, and Lindsay.
Who else can do that?
There you go.
We genuinely picked a band. That's a random Irish band that Bav won't really know that well to question.
Is this a talent that is specific to Bewitched, or if I were to throw any...
You're quite good with bands.
I don't know. Hit me.
Oh.
Hearsay.
Come on, you can name one. Who's the famous one?
Do you know what? Oh, Oh, no, it's gone out of my head. She married, is it Jack Ryder she married? Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay. The guy in
here's the thing, Bav. I'm playing a game. I don't know the answer.
Oh.
You could have said anything.
So you could have said Dozy D, Iggy Mick and Titch, and I would have accepted that. That would have been John Paul, George Ringo, Miley I would have
class.
Been fine.
Mylene Class!
Yay, you got one.
Danny. I know there's a Danny in there as well.
Big Man Danny, yeah.
Big Man Danny. And
what was that song?
Your Lady from Coronation Street.
Kim Marsh. I'm thinking of Liberty
Marsh.
X.
Yeah, Kim Marsh. That's who I was thinking about.
That's
Kim Marsh.
It, Kim Marsh,
if I'm not mistaken, she married Jack Ryder from EastEnders.
Crossing a divide. EastEnders, Coronation Street. That never happens.
Good luck to
her. That never happens. Well, we got there in the end. We got 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
And as Meatloaf once said, that ain't bad or something. Anyway, I've got to let you guys go. I have to say, and this is no disrespect to Callie or Bav, but Omar, that is a sensational outfit.
Thank you so much.
This happens
throughout the show. He wears such good outfits.
All my favorite parts of the show is the costumes.
Yeah.
And I think because Jackson's so such of a like fits outside of the like marriage bubble idea, they just went crazy with my costumes, I'm very excited to see.
It's great. For people, I do have to wrap, but for people at home, because this is going to be an audio, this is a podcast, how would you describe, Bav and Callie, how would you describe what Omar is wearing right now?
Okay.
Spicy.
Like a zebra, but like, different colours. I don't know. I'm making it sound worse. He looks cool. He's in a co-ord with jazz. He looks like a 70s pimp, but one you would trust.
Yeah. Like a pimp with a great style.
I love that. Yeah. You're going to make that my new bio. 70s pimp, but one you would trust.
Yeah. A really ethical pimp. Yeah.
He's an ethical pimp.
On that note, wedding season, Disney Plus. Go and see it.
Thank you.
Thanks guys. So much,
absolute pleasure. You. Thanks so much.
Bye.
All right. That was Callie Cook, Bav Joshi, and Omar Baroud. And now you're going to hear from Gavin Dre and Ollie Littleton, the man who created Wedding Season. Have a great time, everybody. Welcome, guys. How's it going?
Great. Yeah.
Great. Good, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. I have to ask, I've got to start with the obvious question. Have you ever been to a wedding that's gone as disastrously wrong as, well, pretty much all the weddings in Wedding Season?
Not yet. there's one, I say not yet because I'm getting married in October.
Yeah.
And my mum has already requested a food taster in case someone tries to poison her.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how that goes.
So who would that be? Would that be someone in your family or friend circle that you consider to be expendable, or is there a service out there?
I mean, she doesn't know who does the poisoning in the show, so I think it's just a general sort of concern. But don't want to say too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so no, we'll see how that goes.
I'm happy to drive a learner car through your reception.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I did once go to a wedding where the bride was 45 minutes late. Which is quite a long, it was quite a nervous period for everyone, particularly the groom, I think. But
what was wrong? Did she have just cold feet, or was she just stuck in traffic?
I think she's just one of those people who's late for things and, you know, just wanted to stay true to herself on her wedding day. so
stick to character,
yeah.
Give everyone heart attacks. And Gavin, what about yourself? Have you been to a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad wedding?
Well, the last wedding I was at was like a super spreader event, and everyone got COVID the next day. So there was that. But that was kind of like a given, I suppose. That was most weddings probably in the last year. I had a funny moment where I didn't know anyone at the wedding. My girlfriend was one of the bridesmaids, so I had to sit in the crowd by myself. And the priest started describing love as an all-purpose weather pitch. I think it was because the church had just built one, and he was very proud of it. He got a little bit too hung up on the AstroTurf, and he stop talking about the couple, and everyone's kind of staring and being like, where the hell is this going? So, you know, good metaphor for love.
Well, all I know about AstroTurf is that it's bad on the knees.
Yeah, bad. Yeah, so there you go. Just like love, I suppose. Yeah. Bad on the joints.
Precisely. So Oliver, I have to ask about the origins of the show then. Is this rooted in fear about your impending nuptials, or were you just doing your own wedding season and you just got sick of it?
Not consciously fear of my own. I mean, we've been working on the show for quite a while, and it was definitely came out of you know, going through that period of every weekend being a wedding or a stag do or a hen do. I think my friend Jack holds the record for doing 13 weddings in 4 months, which is
wrong.
Feels like too many.
It's criminal.
That's even more than Liz Taylor, in fairness.
Right. Yeah. So it was partly that, and partly wanting to capture that, you know, capture that vibe, which is, I think, important, not just like romantically, but also as friends. Like, it's often a big bonding moment among friends, and you at a time where you're seeing each other less and less.
Yeah.
It's you really kind of cherish those weekends together. So it's partly that, and it was partly that, like, I love rom-coms, but often in rom-coms, like, falling in love is this sort of cozy and comforting thing. And for me, falling in love has always been something that makes me feel sweaty and terrified and anxious and a little bit sick.
It's tough on the knees.
Yeah.
And
tough on the knees. So I wanted to do a rom-com that where falling in love felt like that. And it turned out that, you know, putting some boat chases and you know, jumping off things and gunfights and all that sort of stuff.
Explosions and all that, yeah.
That kind of gets you there.
Amazing. Did it start life? You can be honest with me. I'm a doctor. Did it start life as lots of weddings and even more funerals?
Do you know what? There was a point where we thought we might have to change the name, and the list of alternate names I came up with was so bad that I think they just decided, like, do you know what? We're going to stick with it.
We're going to
push ahead. Yeah. That might have been better than anything I came up with.
And Gavin, for yourself, I mean, and this applies to a lot of people because the show, you know, ratchets back and forth between the past and the present. But this is a hell of a role for you because you get to be, well, Stefan is sweaty and befuddled in both time periods. I think that's safe to say. But that must
that's
have been
what I brought to the role. That's Ali
I'm
meant
really
to
glad
be
a picking sleuth. Up on the sweatiness.
Yeah. He was meant to be a very chill, very calm, collected sleuth, and then they cast me, and it got real sweaty real quick. Yeah.
Did you specify that in the script, Oliver? Was it was Stefan sweaty, befuddled?
I believe he was originally described as an Idris Elba type. Don't know.
That sounds right. Yeah.
No, I think a lot of people called him an idiot in the scripts. And
and a star was born. Well, things like, well, I'm very like, you know, I'll deviate massively from the script. So if it says dances at a wedding in the script, I will change it to dances badly at a wedding. You know, that's what I would bring to the role. You know, I would really, really, kind of,
you tag it, you strip it down to its component parts, and then you reassemble it completely differently, but almost exactly the same.
It's a Picasso-esque nightmare.
And the nose is where the ear should be. It's all very, very complicated, but it must be a hell of a thing for you, you know, as an actor. How do you track that? Because I'm sure you shot this way out of sync.
We were speaking about that before. Some of it was actually easier than you'd imagine. Like the interrogation stuff, we did all, you know, in one block together, and so actually in one sense that had a nice through line to it that made sense. And then I think I'm fortunate in the sense that, you know, to play Stefan correctly, he's somebody who's completely out of his depth, who doesn't know what's going on. So if that was ever the case on set, the better. You know, it made sense. So, that was where somebody like George, the director, and Laura as well, the other director, the two directors, you know, would bring to the show was being able to kind of keep that through line going, particularly with the tone of it, you know, because it can be very hard to navigate something that's both very kind of light and full of comedy and almost slapstick at times, and then very sincere, and you've got the action as well and the heartbreak as well. So it's that's where somebody like George and Laura come in. But also the scripts, the way it works is, you know, the way Ollie writes, I don't know how, but it, you know, it can seem like an incredibly heightened, fantastic situation to find yourself in. And yet the way it's written feels very natural. So to be honest, it was most days felt quite easy in that sense. You know, the script was all there, and it was just a joy to play.
How much did you know going into it about what happens? I'm up to episode 3, so no spoilers beyond that, please. But
no, that's fine. I didn't know, like, because you were obviously still tweaking.
So stuff was pretty. So I think there was a point maybe a few weeks into filming where we got to show you the back half of the script.
Yeah, and yeah. But even actually, I think there was maybe stuff that, you know, you told Rose obviously about, but that actually the less I knew in a sense, the better, because that's exactly the situation that Stefan's in as well. So it's kind of just reacting to the moment and the situation, and he's trying his best to piece it all together. And I think, you know, you follow the audience sort of follows their journey through Stefan in that sense, trying to piece it all together.
Yeah, that's why we blindfolded you to set every day.
It just kept clubbing me over the head and putting me in a brown bag, and
suddenly you'd wake up in Vegas or
why am I here? What's going on? Yeah.
And Ollie, what about you? Whenever you sat down to write this, did you have everything worked out, or how much of it was a scramble to the end?
It was a little bit of both in a way. Like I think we sort of knew the ending up point, but also it sort of accordioned out. And initially it was going to be 6 episodes, and then it was going to be 8. So we ended up kind of carrying on further than the original end point. And also, you know, I'd worked out quite a lot, and then we had this writer's room and these brilliant writers who came in to sort of kick things around. And for example, I think on day one of the writer's room, someone went, should we push a car off a cliff? And I was like, yeah, I think let's do that. If we can do that. So it was a nice mix of you know, having an end point in mind, but also getting to play around, and you know, stuff would change on set as well.
They tend to, just in the moment, in the situation, the weather's different, whatever it might be, the location, and it kind of,
yeah. There was the act three, the stuff we filmed in Morecambe was meant to be kind of Rosa kind of jumping off balconies and things like that. And on the day the weather was so bad that we had to kind of essentially make up an entirely new set piece.
Climb along the side and things like that. And, you know, yeah. But that's also the fun of it as well, I think, you know, the day, to kind of be thinking on your toes. And I think a show like this needs to have that spontaneity to it as well.
Absolutely. But if in doubt, push a car off a cliff. Sometimes it can have people in it. Sometimes it doesn't have to have people in it. You know, this is the beautiful thing. And, you know, this is a Disney Plus show as well. So that must give you a certain Cate Blanchett with the budget that you must have. You know, if you want to push a car off a cliff, damn it, you can push a car off a cliff.
It was Fabergé eggs for lunch every day.
Tough on the old teeth.
They're disgusting, but we pushed through.
But, you know, it's the principle of thing.
I think anytime I would ask about the budget, they would sort of give me a cup of tea and send me away. We got to do a lot. We got to go some places, I think what's kind of fun is the material that's out there, the trailers and things. It's basically showing stuff from the episodes that you've seen, that first three, and there's a lot to come and a lot of surprises and some people we meet and some places we go and some things that you jump off. And
I thought the scene in the International Space Station was too much, but you guys, that's what you wanted.
Look, if Fast and Furious can go to space,
then why can't we? Why can't Stefan?
That was what I said.
Yeah.
Stefan in space. Yes. The show just stops being Wedding Season and becomes Stefan in space. Honestly, that would be quite a pivot, I have to say. I want to ask real quick, so I'll let you guys go, about that central relationship, both writing it and performing it, and with Rosa, that relationship between Stefan and Katie, where he is constantly on the back foot. He doesn't know what the hell she's up to or what she's going to do next. From an acting point of view, that must be manna from heaven. And from a writing point of view, is it difficult to write someone who's that sort of unshackled, shall we say?
I think it's oddly liberating as someone who is I think much more like Stefan than like Katie. I think it was kind of fun to get to live in the head of someone who's a bit more impulsive and a bit more sort of chaotic. And you know, it was what made Rosa kind of perfect for the part, is that I think she's never someone who makes the expected choice. Like, she's always, as a performer, she's always surprising you and always kind of throwing you a curveball. And that's exactly what Casey's doing. You know, every so often she's like, okay, now we're going to jump off this building. And,
I think I think that's what's wonderful about that dynamic as well, is that they're completely complete opposites as well in how they react to situations. And I think but through that kind of that relationship, they get through those situations together as well. You know, it's her bravery and impulsiveness, and then his kind of caution and panic. And I think it sort of gets them over the line together, I think, yeah.
There we go. Caution, panic, sweat, and befuddlement. That's what's happening in the next 5 episodes. Once we get past episode 3, there's lots of that.
Yeah.
Ollie, Gavin, absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys. Okay, so that was Gavin Dre and Ollie Littleton, the creator and head writer of Wedding Season. And now it's time for Jimbo and Kay and myself to talk about and around the show. No spoilers, obviously, in case you haven't seen anything of Wedding Season yet. But this is obviously about... This is propelled, the inciting incident, if you want to use screenwriter parlance, is the wedding going horribly wrong and everyone dies at the wedding. Well, there are a number of inciting incidents, but really the one that sets Katie and Stefan running across Scotland, trying to dodge the authorities and some bad'uns, is that dreadful wedding, which is probably the most bloodthirsty wedding we've seen on the small screen since a certain wedding in a certain show that I won't mention by name. And I've been thinking back to all the weddings I've attended over the years. I don't recall anyone dying at them. What about you guys? Have you had any disastrous weddings in your lives?
I haven't had one like this. I mean, at first, I was hoping that it was just
no
food poisoning.
No one's had anyone like this, Kate.
Well, yeah, I know, but at first, you know what, Chris, I was hoping. I thought, maybe they're not dead. Maybe it's food poisoning, because we've all been to weddings where the food's been dreadful, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like, is it a bad case of food poisoning? No, obviously they are dead. As you say, I haven't been to one where they're dead, but I have been to a friend's wedding. Two good friends of mine, Natalie and Tom, got married, and at the end of the ceremony...
Tom exploded.
No, with excitement. No, when the priest was wrapping it up, instead of saying Natalie's name, the priest said my sister's name, who had done a reading. So it was that kind of like slightly awkward, you know, everyone politely chuckling, going a bit red.
Oh, God.
Crucially, it wasn't at the moment of the vows, but yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't Ross and Rachel and Emily, was
it? No. Because that would have been horrific. No, it was just like, you know, when they're kind of like bidding the couple farewell down the aisle, stop. You're like, oh, okay, so now Tom and Lisa. And I was like, no, 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 it's Tom and Natalie. So yeah, that was slightly awkward to say the least. But like I said, crucially, no one died.
No one died. And that's always a good thing. If I can get through any work event, any work meeting, any screening, any major event in my life, wedding, parties, whatever it is.
Podcast,
funerals is always good because people have pre-died at a funeral.
Yeah, no surprises.
If you have more death at a funeral, that's bad. if I can tick the box saying no one died, then that's a good day. That's a good day as far as I'm concerned. Jimbo, any disastrous weddings in your history?
I cannot recall ever having been to a wedding where half the groom's party died, sadly. I remember going to one where it became abundantly clear about halfway through the wedding that the bride didn't like the groom at all. And I was like, wow, this is awkward. I was like, I don't really know what to say here. Yeah, that was the person in question, I think, just very much wanted to be married. And the man just happened to be someone who fit in a suit and was largely incidental to the whole thing. But that was a little bit awkward. But I think there's something about weddings. Like, you know the way Shane Black always talks about he
sets
films at
Christmas. That was my wedding, wasn't it?
Yes, it was your wedding. I was talking to Fala. It's, you know how like Shane Black says that at Christmas, it's a uniquely heightened event, which exists in almost in its own little sub-reality. I think weddings are a little similar to that. And I think there's a lot of sort of like comedy to me mined from that really bizarre kind of concoction of things like Palm Springs. You know what I mean? It does it really, really well over and over and over again. And I think Richard Curtis tapped into this brilliantly in 4 Weddings as well. It's just there's something about weddings and then multiple weddings. The idea that the narrative is structured around weddings, I think, works very well because they're really bizarre things. They're two people who I think are mentioned in this particular show who are just trying to show everyone else how fabulously better than everyone they are. Mm-hmm. And then everyone else who's kind of a little bit do they really want to be there? Probably not. People don't generally, in my experience, enjoy going to weddings that much. And
they're expensive.
And stuff happens in many cases, lots of deaths. So, you know, that's nice.
expensive and deadly.
Expensive and deadly. Yeah.
Yeah, very living much so. Like this podcast, in fact. And yeah, it's. I don't think I've had too many disastrous weddings in my life. I haven't really gone to that many weddings.
You're so lucky. I've been to so many.
Really?
Yeah. How come you've got out of it?
I don't know. I just think I have deeply unromantic friends who just don't get married. I think that's pretty much it. So you've experienced this wedding season, because one of the key tenets, the key principles of the show, of course, is that it's based on wedding season. The idea is that Stefan and Katie, they meet at one wedding, and then they keep bumping into each other at a series of other weddings, and it's kind of lust at first sight for him, love at first sight, and then their relationship grows and changes and develops and becomes weird, becomes very weird, starts weird, it gets weirder as they meet at more and more weddings until her wedding comes around. Everybody dies at the wedding party except for her, which obviously makes her look like the guilty party, and then they go off on the run. But so that's one of the lovely conceits of the show, that it's taken us through all these different weddings that Stefan and his friend are going to. So Kay, you, as someone who has a wide social circle, you're like a Jane Austen heroine. you've experienced this, whereas my wedding season is basically one every 5 or 6 years.
Oh yeah. Do you know what? There was a few years where no summer was complete without going to at least 4 weddings.
And a funeral?
No, fortunately no funerals. But like, it's just so, it's, you know, and the thing is, it's not just a wedding. So you've got all the engagement parties and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely wedding seasons are a thing. And it's such a lucrative business for all wedding planners and et cetera, et cetera. Because as we said, it's very expensive. Not to take away from the romance of these, you know, lovebirds getting married. But yeah, wedding season, it's a thing, guys. And so I could hard relate to the fact that this friendship group was going to loads of nuptials and stuff. Can we just talk about the fact that this guy, Stefan, is like, what I like about this is that it's kind of like the stereotype of the woman being obsessed with romance turned on its head, because this guy is obsessed with finding the one. Like, he is crazy obsessed, like not even reading the signals when people aren't very interested in him. Like, have you ever experienced that?
Well, have I ever randomly proposed to someone at the end of a night just because I had nothing else to say to them? Sure, we do it all the time.
No, but like being on these dates where people aren't interested, and he's just persisting because he's so caught up in the fact that he wants to settle down. And I thought that was quite refreshing.
I think that ties into that whole wedding season idea, because I do think it is a phenomenon among groups of friends that one couple will get married and that everyone else kind of gets engaged because they all feel like they should at that point. Like, there's peer pressure is a real thing. So I think it's partly that he's sort of hapless and feels that he should do this, but also because everyone's coupling up and they're all pairing off, like he feels like he's being left behind, and that's the driver of his frankly psychotic behavior.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, you're right.
No, but Gavin Dre has such a charm about him. I think that he makes Stefan work, you're right. In the wrong hands, this character could be a really, really interesting, borderline psychotic Jimbo, maybe. But the way that he throws himself wholeheartedly, I was a bit like that a little bit before I met my wife. In that, you know, I wasn't a big dater. I've never been a big dater, but whenever I did meet a woman I liked, I would tend to fall for them very, very quickly. So, and you know, sometimes in the space of an hour, sometimes in the space of 5 minutes, I would be wholeheartedly all in. All my chips are in on this relationship, and that can often lead to heartbreak.
Did you propose though after each meeting?
No, I tended not to. I tended not to. But pretty much in my relationships, thinking back, I was the one who said I love you first, you know.
I mean, that's
then,
just to me.
And then to Jimbo, and then and then she would usually reply, yes, and the rest of your order, please. But you know, it's just one of those things. I'm a romantic at heart, and so that way, I'm absolutely in lockstep with Stefan. You know, he's just a bit, maybe takes it to extremes a little bit, but it all works out nicely for him in regards of him going on the run and being framed for a crime he didn't commit. So I don't know. Maybe there's a lesson there. Who knows? But I have been thinking about my wedding,
in terms of disastrous weddings. It wasn't a disastrous wedding. It was a lovely wedding. Jimbo, you were there.
I was there.
It was a lovely, lovely wedding. But a couple of things went wrong. Nothing major. A couple of things went wrong. We never got to taste our wedding cake, my wife and
I. Why not? Why not?
Because we had a series of wedding cakes.
Because I was there.
James was there. James scoffed them. He inhaled the cakes. So we never got to eat the wedding cakes because there was one really good wedding cake that Helen O'Hara, she made this lovely cake for us. Nick Dissemblian made a terrible cake that had to be roped off and cordoned off. And we had to get the people in hazmat suits in to take a look at it. But Helen made this lovely cake for us and we cut the cake, but we never actually ate the cake. And then when we went back to the venue the next day, they had got crossed wires and they had thrown it out. So we never got to eat the cake. I don't think I've ever told Helen that, so I hope she doesn't listen to this episode. The other thing, the big disaster of the wedding, was that our wedding video was deleted.
No,
was
Chris.
Was erased. So, yeah, phrase.
How the hell? Why? How? What? Who can we shame about this?
We're not going to shame anybody for legal reasons,
fine.
But we are going to. We are. What I will say is this. The big takeaway from this is if you are doing a wedding, if you are planning a wedding, it's great sometimes if you're someone like, you know, like us, we're all very, very fortunate to know a lot of people who work in the media. That helps in terms of our DJ on the night was doing us a favor. There were various people who were doing us favors and were, you know, chipping in and using their prowess and expertise. I think on things like videos, don't cut corners and use someone you know vaguely who may suffer a fit of incompetence and then delete the wedding video. I'm just going to say that.
Quick question. Are you still friends with this person? Do you still know them?
No.
Okay, fine. And then just skating over that and rewinding a bit. Now, am I right in thinking that for your wedding cake, you had what can only be described as a Great British Bake Off in the Empire Office?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
So who else took part? Was it just Nick and Helen or anyone else?
There were a couple of other people. There were about four cakes, I think. Jimbo, did you do one?
I've never made a cake in my life.
You've never made a cake in your life? I'd love to see that, by the way. The Great James Dyer Bake Off would be...
I'll make you a cake. Absolutely.
I'm sure you will.
I'll make you a very special cake.
This cake tastes of almonds. It's totally fine, Chris. Just keep eating it. I can't remember, Kay, to be honest. It was a long time ago. It was 11 years ago now. So, but I'll rack my brain. So if I remember, I'll get back to you in the course of the podcast.
But Helen won the competition, clearly.
Helen won the competition. Well, she had pre-won the competition because we knew she was a really good baker. So we chose her to make the main wedding cake. But then other people were like, oh, I'd like to make you a cake as well. And then Nick made his, I don't know what he made, you know, just sludge water and evil. I think as far as I could tell, which just went into this, it was not good. But you know, hey, we live and we learn, don't we? We live and we learn. Anyway, back to the show.
I have a question about the show. So the show begins. Stefan interrupts a wedding.
Stefan.
Yes. My question is this a thing that has ever happened where someone goes in? Because obviously you have the line, if anyone has any reason why this man, and people use that moment to be dramatic and go, I wish to declare my undying love. It's a text the night before, isn't it? You know, that feels like the way you do it. You text the night before. You don't stand up in the church and say, I would like to declare my love. You just text and say, hey, you sure you want to marry him? I'd rather marry you instead. That's surely the way. A WhatsApp, a little WhatsApp, just on the sly, cheeky one.
A little WhatsApp.
Where's your sense of drama? Like, I mean, come on. No, you should definitely declare it. To be honest, I've never had any experiences or known anyone that's ever gone through this. However, when I'm at a wedding, in my wedding seasons, I clench at that moment, even though I know no one will do it, because there's this tension because of these rom-coms that I've been inhaling that now makes me think, oh God, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, a window cleaner's going to bust in and say, I object.
Sorry, wrong wedding.
Oops.
I've never seen this woman before in my life. Oh, well, I guess I'll marry you now. Have you ever been tempted to throw in a cheeky objection just for the lols?
I've coughed once at that point just for the lols.
Oh, James.
I didn't seem funny at the time.
You are an absolute monster and I admire and respect that. That is tremendous work. No, I've never seen that happen and I've never been tempted to, although it would be spectacularly funny. If you didn't know the couple that well,
yes.
You know, but, you know, just do a quick bit of improv
just
with them.
Stand up. I object. I'm bored and this wedding has gone on too long.
I object. You've scheduled this wedding against a Liverpool game. What are you doing? Let's just call this off and go home early. But Katie, I think, is an interesting character played by Rosa Salazar, of course, who was last seen as the title character in Alita Battle Angel, this time without CG. massive CG eyes, which is good. I realize it's the first time I've ever seen her eyes.
True.
Her real
eyes.
They're
quite beautiful.
They're quite beautiful eyes. And she's an interesting character because Stefan is hapless and a bit pathetic in a really lovable way. And she's the opposite of that. And so she's a character that you're not meant to know what she's thinking or where she's going. She's deeply unpredictable. I don't think she's involved with this murder. I don't think she's involved with it at all. But, you know, clearly the first three episodes are meant to create enough doubt to make you think that maybe she has been involved with it. Again, if you've seen the entire show, then, you know, you can scoff at us if indeed she turns out to be responsible for it all. But, you know, what do you think about Katie as a character, as the spark of the show?
I think she's enigmatic for sure. But unlike you, Chris, I actually think she's a wrong one. I think, you know, she was...
Really?
Yes. I mean, look, I've only watched, as you say, the first three episodes, so I don't know what happens beyond this. But I think she absolutely has done that family in. I think she has. I think she didn't want to get married to this. Look, we should say Hugo is an incredibly rich guy. He's from a wealthy family, right? So she's marrying into this wealthy family and suddenly this family dies. You know, they have got married. And she's now going to inherit the money or, you know, she'll be in with a good shout. And suddenly the family's dead. So I'm just think, is that a coinky dink? I don't think so. So I think she's a wrong one. And I'm worried now for Stefan. Like, what's going to happen to him? Will she then get rid of him when he proves of no use to her?
So do you think this is an actual connection? Because for Stefan and Katie, it is an actual... For Stefan with Katie, it is an actual connection. Do you think it's an actual connection for her with him?
He connects to a tree. I think it is a connection for him. Like, I think he really likes her. Does she like him? I think he's useful to her. This is my theory on it. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I just think...
That's really interesting. Okay, Jimbo, what do you think? Katie, wrong or not?
Oh, I don't know that she's like a mass murdering wrong. And I think there are certainly she has wrong tendencies. Like some of the stuff that she does is a little bit beyond the pale without giving too much away. But I think that's part of that character, the way she's quite lawless.
Lucy Lawless.
And she's a little bit Lucy Lawless. You know, as I say, deliberately sort of inscrutable at times. But, you know, when we first meet her, she's just nicked someone's phone. So, you know, I think you're supposed to think straight off the bat that there's something slightly off about her. And obviously there's as becomes apparent very, very quickly, she's not getting married for, you know, romance or anything like that. There's definitely something at work there. Is it a con? Is it a vendetta? Is it something? Something's going on there that we don't know at this stage. And I think that's actually what I quite like about this, because this, you know, when I went into this, I assumed it would be like a straight up rom-com, which is, you know, fertile, Weddings of Fertile Ground for that kind of thing. But it's a rom-com slash mystery show. And I think it leans more heavily into the mystery than it does into the rom-com elements. And I think that works quite well because it sort of doles out the information very, very slowly as you go. With each of the episodes, only half hour episodes as well, so they're quite compact. But I like the fact that you're always ever so slightly behind. You're always playing catch up. What are you doing? Motivation? What are we doing? Where are we going there? Like, yeah. So to answer Kay's point, like, do I think she's a mass murdering sociopath? No. Am I ruling it out? Also,
see,
no.
I don't know. She's clearly someone. You know, we see what happens at the end of episode one. Again, I don't want to give things away, but it's pretty audacious on her part. And you're right, when Stefan first meets her, anyway, when we first meet her, it's at the wedding, you know, where he interrupts it. But, you know, clearly we're meant to, those all create doubt. But I'm not sure I agree with you, Kay. I don't think she's done it. She's someone who likes the spectacular, right? She's someone who likes the theatrical. But killing a whole bunch of people at your wedding and making sure that you're the only one who's not dead, that feels to me, like, I mean, that's pointing the finger of blame, to quote Credit House, straight at you. And I'm not so sure that she would do that. So I think she's been set up. I think she's been framed.
Okay, well, listen, I'm happy to place a wager on this and we reconvene at the end of the series.
All right, okay, yep. After this, when Disney Plus Day hits, I'm going to watch the last five episodes and there you go. Your money's mine. How much? What are we talking?
Well, actually, I'm thinking a better thing is whoever loses, James has to bake them a cake.
Oh my God, I'm not sure I want to win this bet.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, right? So I think you want to win because you don't want to receive that cake. So whoever,
right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm saying Katie is not... Okay, let's be specific here, okay? I'm saying that Katie is not the murderer of the wedding party. I'm not saying Katie is not a murderer. I think she has it. I think we all have it in us. Right? But I don't think she's responsible for the deaths of Hugo Delaney and his family. That's a very specific, very narrow band. Kate thinks she might is. Are you saying she is?
I'm saying she is in some way responsible for this.
Oh,
murder.
You're backing out. I can hear the vehicle reversing already.
She is responsible for the deaths of the groom's family, including
right.
the groom.
And whoever is wrong, has to eat a cake baked by James.
Yeah, that's it. And then ultimately die from food poisoning. So yeah. The end.
Yeah. The circle of life. This is so good. All right. Yeah, I'm in. Jimbo, are you in?
Yeah, absolutely. I will prepare the poison cake immediately. Oh, you know what I'll do? I'll do like a tiered cake, and one of the tiers will be poisoned. Ooh. And the other two will be fine. Or like a layer cake. Different film. Layer cake, and some of the layers will be fine, and some
of them won't.
I'm
loving this. A Russian roulette, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah, that's it.
Wowzers.
Things suddenly got even more interesting.
This has got interesting. This could be one of our last podcasts. Whoever's wrong. Oh, my God. All right. Well, there's a couple of other things I wanted to talk about before I take a bite out of Jimbo's cake. That sounds wrong, but there we go. James was saying there about rom-coms. And so this is a rom-com. But it does have that thing that a lot of really good rom-coms introduce, you know, right going back to something like It Happened One Night back in the 30s, which is an element of danger, which helps to bond your main characters as they go on the run or as they try to evade the authorities and of course, the badens. So why do you think that helps? Why do you think that works with rom-coms? I mean, you get your traditional rom-coms, your Four Weddings and your Notting Hills and anything starring Hugh Grant that's not Paddington 2. And then you get Lee's as well. So what's the difference for you guys? What does that element of danger do?
Well, as Sandra Bullock said in Speed, relationships that start under intense circumstances never last. So, you know, maybe that's where they've been going wrong all along.
She was right, you know.
She was. They broke up before Speed 2.
He had read the script.
But I don't know, it does. I think the pressure cooker of like adverse situations, you know, they enhance the frisson between the main characters. I think it works very well. Well, when it works. When it doesn't work, then it doesn't work very well. But you know what I mean.
I think so. And I think it just like bonds the characters. So like, for example, bringing up Sandy B again in The Proposal, my favourite rom-com.
Is that your favourite rom-com?
Oh my God, I love The Proposal. I can never get tired of watching that. Like, I love the...
Really?
Yeah, Sandra Bullock, Ryan Reynolds. She plays the hard-nosed... was she editor-in-chief of a publishing house and he's her...
Okay, it's your favourite rom-com, you should know.
Lowly assistant. I know this. I was being theatrical. Is it? I knew the answer.
Like Katie.
Not being funny, but isn't The Proposal just like a bit problematic that the boss forces her young assistant to marry her? I'm just saying, you know.
He willingly goes into it. He goes into it because he wants to be a editor himself. And she needs a green card, essentially. So yes, they do get married. She does maybe coerce him slightly, but he does ultimately agree to do it. And they go off to Alaska. Now, the thing that I like about this, and tying in with your original question, Chris.
It was a long time ago, but yes.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. they face the danger of basically this immigration officer hot on their tails, figuring out the truth and one of them going to prison. And also the fact that his family might figure out that they're not actually a loved up couple. So the danger element actually works really well here. And crucially is a part of why they fall in love. So I'm saying it's a good device.
It is a good device, isn't it? And thank you for choosing that film entirely at random. The Proposal is now available to stream on Disney+.
It is my it's my favourite rom-com and ties in very nicely with Wedding Season because there's an element of danger.
Do you know my favourite rom-com?
Go on, what?
It's another Sandy B one, can you guess?
Ooh.
While You Were Sleeping.
Correct.
Ah. Is it really? Is it another incredibly creepy film? Wow, there's a theme here, isn't there?
Creepy Chris.
So problematic.
No, not Creepy Chris, Creepy Sandy B. Clearly, no, it's not problematic. So what happens is, in While You Were Sleeping, she falls in love from afar with a handsome guy played by Peter Gallagher. One day he falls onto the train track. She works on the L train in Chicago. She takes the people's tickets as they go through. And he falls on the train tracks. She saves him in the nick of time. He falls into a coma. She then, through a series of circumstances, ends up accidentally kind of suggesting that she's his fiance, and her family, his family take him into her bosom, and then she meets his brother, his rugged brother, played by Bill Pullman, and they fall in love. And then she's like, oh no, I'm conflicted because, you know, I'm in love from afar with this guy who I've actually never met, and they all think I'm his. And yeah, it is problematic now I think about it.
Yeah, but, I know. I'm with Jimbo. I think it is a bit problematic, but
a little bit, just a little bit, just a teeny little bit. But just hey, listen, touch. We're talking about a show that starts with a couple meeting, and then you have, you know, a spot of murder, bit of grand larceny, and then of course going on a run from the authorities. So
I guess what we're saying is romance and love is complicated, guys.
It is complicated. I think Shakespeare said it best.
Yeah.
When he said something that pertains to the situation. So wise. He's so wise, the bard, to say that thing that he said that fits the situation exactly.
Were you doing the true course of Love Never Runs Smooth?
Something like that.
I'm watching the trailer for The Proposal silently, and I now really want to watch it.
Really?
It's so good, James.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
You've never seen The Proposal?
I don't think so.
And it's got Betty White in it.
She's just come up on screen. I don't think I've ever seen it. I might have done and then completely forgotten it's possible.
Incredibly, While You Were Sleeping is also available to stream on Disney Plus. I promise you. Those two films were chosen at random. Jimbo, what's your favourite rom-com? Points if it's on Disney Plus.
Four Weddings. I don't know if it's on Disney Plus. Probably not.
Why is it your favourite rom-com?
Yeah, I have a thing for Richard Curtis, as you know. So, like, Four Weddings, Notting Hill, Love Actually. Love Actually is problematic in its own way. But between Notting Hill and Four Weddings, it has to be Four Weddings. It is just the better film.
All right. It is not available to stream on Disney Plus, but nevertheless, wedding season could be referred to as a bunch of weddings and loads of funerals. So, yeah. is that one of the reasons why you have bonded with the show on a molecular level?
Yes, definitely. I think it's the juxtaposition of weddings and then mass death works for me.
The circle of life in one event. I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's neat.
Circle of Life, Lion King, also available to stream right now on Disney Plus. Just a couple of last things before we wrap this bad boy up and we go off to prepare for wedding season. This show does something which is interesting. It plays with timelines, obviously. So it, you know, it zigzags back and forth between when Stefan and Katie first met, and then obviously their brush with Johnny Law. So why do writers love that, by the way? What is it about that works?
Why do people love zigzagging timelines?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's partly getting excitement up front, isn't it? So that you can have like a sort of a cold open or start sort of in media res and then sort of go back and fill in the blanks as you go. But I think there's, I like when we do this on Pilot, I know Boyd has a real hatred of things that go 3 months earlier, 3 weeks earlier, that kind of leap back. I don't actually mind it if it's done well. I actually quite like here the fact that it keeps you on your toes because their meet cute, how they first meet at the wedding is actually a really lovely part of this, and that's the bit I really want to see. And I like the fact they keep hopping backwards and forwards. You're filling in who is this girl to this guy, because it starts with the wedding, you know, him trying to derail her wedding, which immediately makes him seem like a raging bellend. So you need to roll that back, you need to redeem him, and so going back and finding out who she is to him I think works actually quite well in this regard. So I think it can be fun. I think it can be a fun thing to do if you tease out some of the stuff that happened in the past, so it gradually makes the stuff in the present make more sense as it goes along. Basically, what I'm saying is this is Tenet with wedding cake.
Kay, what about yourself? Why do people love this stuff?
I just think it gives, you know, just from a practical point of view, it gives viewers vital information to, like, you know, it fills in the narrative gaps, if you will, and goes partway to explaining the behaviour in the present and, you know, helps to shift time and perspective. I think James is right. It works, you know, when it works well, it's brilliant. So, like, for example, I don't know if you guys have watched This Is Us, the hit US TV show. Either of you? Anyone?
I've never seen it.
Fine.
Yeah, I know it exists.
Okay. Well, just rest assured it's brilliant, and they do a lot of this. So it's set in the, generally it's set in the present. It follows three siblings, and yeah, they do flashbacks and forwards actually. And particularly it's a way of explaining the death of the dad and what happened. So I think, yeah, it absolutely works really well in those instances and in wedding season. But sometimes if it's done like in a really clunky fashion, it can just be a bit irritating. Fortunately, not in this case.
By the way, This Is Us. All six seasons are available now to stream on Disney+.
Listen, I didn't know that, but genuinely, if you haven't watched it, I urge you to watch it because it's really, really good, addictive even. And just be warned, you will need your tissues at the ready because it is quite, quite emotional.
Yeah.
So I know how James feels about that. Often he doesn't like to weep, but you will be weeping if you watch This Is Us.
I think you'd like it, Jimbo. Yeah, everything I've heard about the show says that it'll be right up your street, that this show has been made in a lab, engineered for Jimbo Dyer, I think.
One day, maybe. One day.
The last thing I wanted to talk about with Wedding Season is that this is a British show. And this is the first Disney Plus UK original show, the original series, and that's exciting. And that you know shows that, you know, we're hopefully going to get more shows like this, and more stories to be told. And obviously, it has an American character at the center of it, but the locations are wonderfully British, and the cast around it is such a wonderfully diverse and representative cast as well. I think this is a show that could only be made now.
But it's for me, what sort of nails it in terms of the Britishness is the group of friends, like the surrounding background characters, because they're the sort of like the most of what we understand about Stefan's characters comes from his friends and his interaction with his kind of gaggle of friends. I always thought that's one of the best things about Four Weddings, that the actual friends that Hugh Grant's character has, the people around him, are all so interesting and varied and funny and quite caricatured in their own way, and they yeah. work really well. Also in this, and I'm sidetracking slightly, but I do think, we're not sure we've really mentioned it, but I think Donahue and Metz, the two police officers yes. in this, like, we didn't really touch on them, but they are really, really great supporting characters. Mm. And I think actually they carry this along very well. I think their interaction between them, their, shall we say, is quite complex working relationship, adds a texture to this. And because that side, that's the kind of the other side of the Chase narrative, I think you need something strong there propping it up, and they do a good job of that.
Yeah, I do love that relationship. It's unusual and unexpected. And the whole show is about that as well. There are rom-coms on top of rom-coms on top of this thriller show, on top of this mystery show also. Because, you know, Layla and Anil are engaged to be married. You know, one of the weddings we're going to see is going to be theirs. Jackson feels a bit lovelorn, but also someone who's a bit of a player, and he's clearly been playing the field for a while, and now finally he's ready. His chickens are coming home to roost. This is a very tortured analogy, so but just go with it. So I really love that. Love is in the air. Love, if you will, as the bard once said, is all around. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. That's not because of love. That's because I've taken a bite out of James's cake.
You will be. By the end of this series, you will be.
She's not the murderer. She's not the murderer.
She is responsible.
Oh, that is...
I sense equivocating here.
Oh, no,
equivocating.
She's responsible for their deaths. I'm being very clear about it.
What does that mean? What do you mean? What do you think has
it
happened?
It means what you want it to mean. No, it means it means that she is behind their deaths, that she was responsible. She's not an innocent in this. This is what... Okay, I'll say she is not innocent in this. She is definitely responsible for their deaths.
But do you think she directly poisoned them?
Did I say that? I think you
started from that position, and you have now backtracked wildly.
Okay. She really doesn't want this cake, Jimbo. I mean, I honestly can't blame her.
Right. I'm going to say, all right, she poisoned them. She is responsible. Okay, I'll say that.
Why would she poison them at the wedding? That doesn't make any sense.
She wants the money.
There are better ways, he said, with no personal experience of this, of murdering an entire family to take their money.
I think she's done it on purpose, and she's going to blame the caterers. There, I said it.
Yeah, it's almost certainly the caterers.
Wow. Listen, let's check the wedding video. Maybe that will provide evidence. Oh, no, wait, it's been deleted. How suspicious. Anyway, listen, I cannot wait to see the other 5 episodes of Wedding Season and prove Kay wrong. That is my goal. But on that note, that is it for this very special collaboration, this co-pro, if you will, between... That's very one-sided co-pro between The Empire and Pilot TV Podcasts. And of course, all 8 episodes of Wedding Season are available right now for you to stream on Disney Plus, along with a whole bunch of other amazing stuff. Very, very exciting indeed. And now all that remains for me is to say goodbye to my two colleagues of such lethal cunning, possibly for the last time. We shall see. It is goodbye from James Dyer.
Goodbye. Cake. It's a made-up drug.
It is goodbye from Kay Ribeiro.
Goodbye. I'm right.
We shall see. We shall see. But I kind of don't want to be right in this. Oh, do I want to be right? I'm confused. If I'm right, you eat the cake.
If you're a loser, you get to eat James's cake.
Oh, I'm a loser. Just generally, I'm a loser. So
whoever wins, okay, we lose.
Yes, whoever wins, we lose. Two more slices of cake, please. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.